Now, Pisces, well, the sun passed through the sign of Pisces, or is currently passing through, between February 19 and March the 20th. Its symbol is the fish. It's a water sign in the mutable mode. So Pisces is the last phase in the path of human development through the 12 signs of the zodiac. So it's the last sign, as I mentioned. And because of this, it's got some special attributes that I'll try and summarise as best I can using different resources. Obviously, the Master Samael and Jofra, who I've been using from his writings and also his paintings, pictorial portrayals of these signs, which are very insightful. And last but definitely not least, the blog posts of Carly Samish, who is an instructor in Portland, Oregon. And she has some wonderful insights into the different astrological signs. So I'll be reading from her teachings or her writings during tonight's show. But if you're interested in learning more and reading her other topics she speaks on, then head to her website, which is gnosticmuse.com. I think if you typed in Gnostic Muse, that's M-U-S-E, you should, Google should direct you to that website. Okay, so the planet that rules, or the planets that rule Pisces and Neptune predominantly, and also Jupiter. So Jofra says that Neptune is the ruling sign of this sign. So the ruling planet of this sign, but before 1846, when this planet, before it was discovered, it was Jupiter. Carly writes, Pisces is ruled by the expansive planets Jupiter and Neptune. The planet Neptune governs everything that is hidden or elusive. The cloistered cell of the renunciate, the prisoner's cell, the mysterious things hidden at the bottom of the ocean. Even what is hidden behind a stage actor's costume and mask. So it's very mystical type of sign. We'll go into that a bit more later. Pisces governs or rules over the feet. And it said that the feet are the sieves through which the energies that arise from the earth enter through to us. And so when we started this series, we started in Aries, which was in the region of the head, very headstrong type of energy, personality. And then we've worked our way through down the body, and now we end in Pisces in the feet. And Pisces has that dual nature. It's got the two fish as its symbol, and that also reflects the duality inherent in that sign. So the Master Samael says on Pisces that, in very esoteric wording, but I wanted to read it anyways, even though it might go over our heads. He says, we have arrived at the mother night of Egyptian cosmology, the profound ocean of Pisces, the initiatic, the limitless darkness of absolute abstract space, the first element of the abyss where the undines guard the Rhine gold, or the fire of the divine and genetic thought. Pisces, represented by the symbol of water, is the great ocean of life. It represents the absolute abstract space, that which we originate from and that which we go back to. Or we're always really a part of the great ocean of life. But in this sign, with the symbols, we are invited to reflect on this great ocean that we're all connected to. So Carly says in her post, the zodiac shows a process of creation, growth, and increasing complexity until in Pisces it all dissolves and comes apart. This dissolution brings about the ultimate ending of all things so the cycle can begin anew with all the wisdom and lessons learned from the experience. So when we are wanting to understand existence and our place in it and the process of self-realization or liberation, then we have to understand that we all go back to the absolute, and preferably we do it consciously, and so we regain all the experience and lessons that we learnt in the variety of lives that we have in this in creation. But we also go back to that point without being conscious of our experiences. So we can do it mechanically, or we can do it consciously, and that's really what we want to aim to do. So this sign really helps us to understand the whole picture, the whole cycle of our path, obviously the zodiac, but that esoteric path that takes us back to that oneness of everything, but consciously, amongst all the other things that we will learn in our journeys. So Jofra, the artist that draws and explains his drawings, he says, in the Pisces sign, the resolution of form and the borders between self and non-self fall away completely. From the point of view of the material world, this is freedom of form. From the point of view of the material world, this freedom of form is seen as sacrifice and death. Seen, however, from a spiritual point of view, it means liberation and birth in new, wider perspectives. So he's explaining that phenomenon that we call death of the material form we have gives rise to freedom of our energy, and obviously different experiences and different dimensions, provided we have the consciousness to actually realise that whilst it's happening. And so from that perspective, it's a birth, it's a new experience. But we only limit ourselves to the material, and so we don't see death as a thing of freedom, of liberation. So continuing on, under this last sign of the zodiac, the experiences that we've gained are abstracted. The contents are separated from the factual form. Only the essence of the experience remains. The characteristics of the sign, Pisces, are therefore synthesis, resolution, and liberation. The cycle closes here. Life came from the primordial ocean. Now it returns to it more conscious and richer in experience. So that was just saying in Jofra's words what I was mentioning before about we come to the end of the cycle, but it's really just a new beginning, but with the experience, the richness and the consciousness of all those things that we've learnt in the various other lives and phases that we've gone through. So Pisces being a water sign, there's lots of water symbolism used here. We can use this, our imagination, to see our life and creation as this great ocean. And, you know, we're all interconnected through this media. And, yeah, so on the topic of water, I wanted to just read straight out a passage from Carly Samish's writings. So we have she says, the waters of Pisces are related with the great oceans, unfathomably deep, full of mystery, a completely different world filled with strange and magical creatures unlike anywhere else on earth. Pisces governs dreams, the dream world, imagination and intuition, which can facilitate spiritual awakenings and insights into subtler realms of existence, but can also fall into fantasy, delusion, and nightmares. The influence of imagination and dreams is often found in art, poetry, music, film, and theatre, which can transport us to another world where anything is possible. It is easy to see how these can be either edifying and inspiring for the heart or an escape from the realities and responsibilities of life. That's a very interesting point. Continuing on, water itself is the universal solvent, a polarized molecule that can break apart nearly anything given enough time. This is why water as an element is so healing and purifying. Everything in water loses its solid form and can be washed away. We see this redemptive quality of water as used in the rituals of baptism, morning ablutions, and ceremonial hand or foot washing. The energy of Pisces in the world has that same dissolving function of water, gradually breaking down all forms and structures. People born under the influence of Pisces may sometimes find it hard to get it together in the physical world because things seem to naturally dissolve and come apart around them. At the same time, there can be an innate understanding and acceptance of the impermanence of the world and the greater spiritual truth that exists beyond the rules of physical existence. So it's very, very much a very mystical, spiritual sign. It's not so much about the forms that we take in our existence. It's about dissolving them and just really reuniting with truth and with the essence of truth, which is timeless, ageless. It's beyond the things that we relate to in matter and that we see as set and concrete, like we see ourselves as our physical body, and we're more than that, but we are so identified with the package that we are is that we don't see the essence or the spirit of what we are. And so in the time of Pisces, or the energy of Pisces, to truly work with those energies, we will go beyond that physical, that form, and really see the truth of the matter of what we are. So on the symbol of the fish of Pisces, I wanted to read, so going back to Joffre, he says, the sign of Pisces was originally illustrated by one fish, or by the fishman John. In Mesopotamia, though it was shown as a girdle, a rope or cord with which the fish were tied, swimming in the opposite direction. So in Joffre's artwork, he combined this idea with the yin-yang symbol, the depiction of absolute balance and the eternal play between the male and the female principles within the revealed unity. It symbolizes the complete person of this last sign of the zodiac. The girdle binding the two parts together is composed of 12 stars, representing the 12 signs of the zodiac which have been passed. The red fish, which represents the active part of this person, points downwards, diving into its inner world. The blue fish, the passive part, represents the outside world, because man has no more interest in the world of phenomena. It's become unreal to him. His only reality is the immeasurable kingdom of the primordial oceans of his inner world. So is explaining that process where we start to break through the illusions of form that we are so accustomed to seeing ourselves and life through, and then we actually can dive into our own inner world. So Carly on this topic speaks quite well about the age of Pisces, and I briefly mentioned this when I talked on Aquarius last month, which I know the recording isn't up yet. I'm still waiting for a full copy of it because my local copy actually has 20-minute chunk I'm missing. So sorry about that, folks. I mentioned that we're now in the age of Aquarius, or the era of Aquarius, but before that, so before the 1962, we were in the age of Pisces, which was quite a different age. And so Carly writes on this, and it's very, very, I couldn't put it any better myself. On a larger cultural scope, we can see the influence of the sign of Pisces in the previous two millennia known as the Age of Pisces. This time was characterized by major religions, in particular Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Taoism, Buddhism and Confucianism that emphasize teachings of humility, devotion, obedience, solitude and sacrifice, which are all keynotes of Pisces. Christianity in particular reached its greatest influence during this age, and Christ was associated in many of the Gospels with fish and fishermen. The crude symbol of the fish helped the early Christians identify one another while they were still under persecution and had to meet in secret. So I'm not sure well I can explain this, but with the symbols of the fish, so one person would draw the first fish, and then if they were if the person recognized the symbol, they would join the other fish, and then they would understand that they were both of the same tradition and could be open with one another. So continuing on, Christ's ultimate act of sacrifice shows the spirit of Pisces in the willingness to endure pain, humiliation, suffering, and even physical death so that the divine will and goodness prevails on earth and others may benefit. Mary, the mother of Christ, is also a profound symbol of suffering, humility, patience, and sacrifice. Christ the fish is born from Mary the sea, and in Pisces we learn how redemption and healing come from a surrender to the infinite goodness and divinity of God. So the Master Samuel also writes about the same topic. He says that Pisces is wisely symbolized by two fish. The fish is the soma of the mysteries of Isis. The fish is the living symbol of primitive Gnostic Christianity. The two fish of Pisces, linked by a hyphen, have a profound Gnostic significance. They represent the two souls submerged within the deep waters of Mother Night. Master Samuel is very poetic in his way of writing. He says the Age of Pisces should not have been a failure as it was. The cause of the failure was due to certain tenebrous elements who preached certain agnostic or anti-Gnostic doctrine, underestimating the fish, disregarding the religious wisdom and sinking humanity into materialism. And so I just wanted to make a comment about how we confuse religion with spirituality. And yeah, I was reading about that recently. I can't remember where, but that's... nevertheless, we get confused with the forms of religious groups and religious organisations, and then we might get a bit put off from the actual wisdom or teachings that come from that. And so now is a good time, being in Pisces, which is to extract the essence of matter, of forms, and to really see the real truth behind them. So not being afraid of things that we see as religious and trying to actually extract the living teaching or principles of spirituality that are inherent in them. And it's kind of really hard to do, especially if we've formed very strong beliefs of agnosticism or atheism. But really, we don't need to look very far to see miracles. I often use the example of looking at a cell, understanding what happens in a cellular structure is amazing. Understanding how viruses work is also amazing. So there's lots of amazing things around us that show that there is higher intelligence or higher orders of principles around us. I know there's also a lot of lower orders and laws, you could say, that make us think the otherwise, but there's definitely an order in the chaos that we might perceive in life. So continuing on, he says, the result of the agnostic Christianity was the materialistic dialectic. The reaction against agnosticism was the God, godless and lawless materialism. It can be affirmed that the Age of Pisces failed due to agnosticism. And this was a great betrayal of the time of Pisces. So we had like an opportunity to really delve into spirituality, but you know, something went wrong, and it kind of hasn't really worked, and thus the new age of Aquarius maybe hasn't got off to the best start that it could have. But you know, we're still working on this within ourselves as best we can. So there's always hope, because we carry the work within us, and as long as we have that, we are able to influence those in our lives. So I'll just go to a short music break. Well, I don't think it's really that short. It's a track. Just give me a minute. It's a track from the Hulse CD. It Hulse Planets. And this one is Neptune, which given that Pisces is ruled primarily by Neptune, is quite appropriate. So I'm just loading it at the moment. And then I'll be back to continue on with the characteristics of, well, more about the characteristics of the sign of Pisces. And you're back on the Gnostic Waves. That was a track, Neptune, the Mystic. Wasn't that a very mystical sounding piece of music? Hope you enjoyed that. I think it very much reflects the sign of Pisces that we've been, well, I've been talking about. Hopefully you can get some kind of understanding through listening to that music, like on a level that's beyond the intellect. All right, so I said I was going to go through the characteristics. Well, these are the characteristics that the Master Samael writes about, and he himself started off as a Piscean. He actually transformed his star sign into Aquarius, which is very interesting and something you don't hear about often, and it just goes to show that we're not limited by our astrological blueprint. It is can be a guide of who we are, but we are able to change our mechanical programming and way of being. So, the point being is that he would have had great insight into this sign. So he says, usually the natives of Pisces are of a dual nature. They have a disposition for two professions or trades. The natives are difficult to comprehend. They live like the fish, in everything but separated from everything by the liquid element. They adapt to everything, but deep down they despise all the things of the world. That's an interesting contradiction there. They are exquisitely sensitive, intuitive, and profound, and people cannot comprehend them. He says that a few times, which makes you wonder what's really going inside a Piscean native. The natives of Pisces have a great disposition for occultism due to the fact that Pisces is governed by Neptune, the planet of esotericism. The women of Pisces are very nervous, sensitive, like a delicate flower, intuitive and impressionable. Pisces people have good social sentiments. They are happy, peaceful, hospitable by nature. The danger of Pisces people is of falling into laziness, negligence, passivity and indifference for life. Pisces people can reach the lack of moral responsibility. The mind of Pisces people oscillates between rapid or fatal comprehension, on one hand, with laziness and disdain for the most necessary things of life. These are the two extremes, and they just as soon fall into one extreme as they do into the other. The will of Pisces people is sometimes strong, but inconsistent on other occasions. When Pisces people fall into indifference and extreme passivity, they allow themselves to be carried away by the current of the river of life. But when they see the seriousness of their conduct, they put their steel will into play, and they then radically change the entire course of their existence. There you go. So they're capable of flowing with the circumstances of life, but when they put their will into action, they can, you know, change completely. Pisces people of a superior type are 100% Gnostic. They possess a will of unbreakable steel and a very elevated sense of moral responsibility. The superior type of Pisces produce great enlightened beings, masters, initiated kings, etc. The inferior type of Pisces has a marked tendency towards lust, alcoholism, gluttony, laziness, pride. Pisces people like journeys, but not all of them can travel. They have a great imagination and tremendous sensitivity. There are things that we mentioned before as well. It's very difficult to comprehend Pisces people. Only Pisces people can comprehend Pisces people. Well, all the rest of us can only try. What for run-of-the-mill people has great importance is worth nothing for Pisces people. But he is diplomatic, he adapts himself, he appears to agree with people. The superior type of Pisces already transcends all these weaknesses and is chaste in an absolute manner. Usually, Pisces people customarily suffer a lot with the family in their first years. It is difficult to find a Pisces person who was happy with his family during his first years. Well, I'm not sure about that last one, but if you're a Pisces and listening and you can relate to that, that's great. All right. So we'll get ourselves ready to do a practice, but I just wanted to read what the Master Samael says or advises for the practice that we're to do during the month of Pisces. And because it's the last of the zodiac, it's quite an interesting practice. I'll just read what he says and then we can do it. He says, "Our body is entirely a musical harp where the seven vowels of nature should resound incessantly. Therefore, during Pisces, it is necessary to vocalize the seven vowels as follows: E, A, O, U, A, M, S. The sound of each of these vowels should be taken from our head to our feet. Master Hirakocha says that 1 hour of daily vocalization is worth more than reading a million books of Oriental Theosophy. Let us remember that in the beginning was the verb. In ancient times, the seven vowels of nature resounded in the entire human organism. It's now necessary to restore the seven notes in the marvelous harp of our organism in order to restore the lost powers. The vowel E causes the pineal and pituitary glands to vibrate. These two small glands are united by a small, extremely subtle canal which has already disappeared in cadavers." Okay, so it doesn't last long after we pass. He says the pineal gland is located in the superior part of the cerebrum and the pituitary gland in the cavernous plexus between the two eyebrows. Each of these two small glands has its vital aura, and when these two auras blend, the spatial sense is developed and we see the ultra of all things. The vowel air causes the thyroid gland, which secretes the biological iodine, to vibrate. This gland is located in the throat, and in it resides the chakra of the magical ear. The vowel O causes the heart chakra, the center of intuition and all types of powers, to travel in the astral, jinn state, etc., to vibrate. The vowel U causes the solar plexus, located in the umbilical region, to vibrate. This solar plexus is the telepathic center and the emotional cerebrum. The vowel A causes the pulmonary chakras, which permit us to remember our past lives, to vibrate. The vowel M profanely held as a consonant is vocalized with the lips closed without opening the mouth, and the sound that then comes out through the nose is the M. This vow causes the waters of life, the mercury of secret philosophy, to vibrate. The vow S is a sweet and gentle hissing which causes the fire inside of us to vibrate. Seated in a comfortable armchair, we have to vocalize E-A-O-U-R-M-S, carrying the sound of each of these seven vowels from the head to the feet. It is necessary to inhale, then exhaling the air together with the well-prolonged vowel sound until exhausting the exhalation. So let's get ready for the meditation practice, finding ourselves a position where we can sit and relax with minimal interruption. Letting the thoughts and the events of the day just pass through us. So in this time of Pisces, is the synthesis of everything that we've discovered. It's the extraction of the lessons of the essence of things that we've discovered in the past 12 months, going through this zodiacal course. The dissolution of forms and structures, dissolving back into the primordial ocean of life, but with the consciousness, with the experience. Let's start with the mantra E that causes the pineal and pituitary glands to vibrate. E. Next, we work with the foul air that causes the thyroid gland to vibrate. Giving our attention in the practice, not letting the mind wander. We move to the chakra in the heart, center of intuition, center that helps us to travel in the astral and the jinn state. Mantra O. Next, we use the vowel U, which causes the solar plexus to vibrate. This is related to the emotional center, the emotional brain, relates to the center of telepathy. U. Next, we work with the vowel R, which causes the pulmonary chakras to vibrate, helps us to remember our past lives. Next, we vocalize the letter M, working to vibrate our creative energies. The mantra S to activate the coccyx, which causes the fire inside us to vibrate. It is a sweet and gentle hissing. Hopefully we're feeling ourselves vibrating. Wanted to quickly run through each of the zodiac signs and imagining the energy coming from above, goes into the area of the head. In Aries, the energy passes through to the throat in Taurus. Imagining that light flooding that area. And we enter the realm of Gemini, which affects the lungs. We move to the influence of Cancer. The thymus. Into Leo in the heart. We move to Virgo, the area of the stomach. The abdominal area. Imagining the energy is in the kidneys for Libra. Moving to our reproductive organs in Scorpio. Then into the legs and thighs for Sagittarius. And going into the bones in Capricorn. And then activating the calves in Aquarius. And then lastly, the feet in Pisces. That all the parts of our organism are vibrating, are connecting to the different zodiacal energies. Even though we're not in them all at once, we can still connect with that force to be complete. Comprehending the cycle that we go through all every year, every life, this cycle reflects many different things. Ultimately, we are trying to understand our path back to the absolute, back to consciousness. To truth. We take the essence of all the lessons we've learnt and we free them, we remove them from the form. So like when we try and dissolve the ego, we are extracting the essence from its form, from its conformity, from its conditioning. And achieving that liberation within. Feeling that freedom within us. Freedom is not bound to any external conditions or circumstances or criteria. Feeling that freedom and liberation that is inherent in us all. And then slowly we finish the practice.